just in. Breaking news tonight. Congress has finally been able to agree on something. They have declared pepper spray to be a vegetable. That's it. Just in from Congress. Hey, welcome, truth seekers. This is your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, occupier, all-around swell fellow, and really ticked off guy here tonight, sitting in for Mike on Thanksgiving week. Glad you could join us here. We are, of course, broadcasting from the left coast, as usual, here in the lovely studios of K-Talk AM 1150, here in Stephanie Miller's studio. But don't tell her we're here. Glad you could join us tonight, and please stop by the bradblog.com chat room, which will be live, up, and running all night long. I'm running behind, so I don't even know who's there yet. I know Desi is there. Oh, Four Earth is there, and Catfish Blues is there, some other folks who would love to say hi to you, so stop on by there. You're going to want to get together. You're going to want to have someone's shoulder to cry on as the show continues tonight. Our phone number, don't use it right now because I've got a jabber for a bit, but you're going to want it later because these are your public airwaves and I want you to occupy them. No, corporate America doesn't want to hear from you, but I do. So our number, when it's time, will be 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Okay, what other business do I have? You can tweet me at the Brad Blog. That's where I can be tweeted at. And all this week, by the way, this week's shows are sponsored by Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique, American Democracy, Politics in Crisis. Richard Averitt has been kind enough to donate his book to the Brad Blog as a premium to help keep us up on the internet at bradblog.com. Keep me right here on your Mike Malloy Show when Mike is not around. So I would appreciate it if you stop by bradblog.com, buy a signed copy of the book. And one of the things you'll find is that one of the characters in this fictional thriller, and it is a thriller, by the way, with an explosive ending, one of the things you'll find is a character named Brad Friedman. Yeah. I'm a fictional character in this book as an election integrity expert who has to inform the progressive candidate for president, the one who has just won, that he didn't win thanks to some electronic voting chicanery in the state of Georgia. It's a three-way race. It's both my dream come true and my nightmare right before my very eyes as I'm in this book. Imagine Politique. Check it out at bradblog.com. Please buy a copy and do help support all of us. Okay, all the business done? All the business is done. You know, we were last Friday, if you heard the show, I was ticked off then. Because at that point, all that we had known about was the two-time veteran in two-tour Iraqi veteran in Oakland who had been shot in the head by the Oakland police unprovoked with a tear gas canister, had his skull fractured. The other Iraq and Afghanistan veteran, Kevin Sebagi, who had his spleen ruptured by the Oakland police on that same night back in October 25. The cameraman, Scott Campbell, who in Oakland on November 3rd was shot with a beanbag round, and you can see that video as well as all these others I'm telling you about at Brad Blog. He was shot for no reason whatsoever, just cold-cocked out of nowhere by the Oakland police who shot him. I was ticked off because the police were using batons to, quote-unquote, according to the AP, to nudge students on the campus of UC Berkeley. I was ticked off by the Occupy the Dallas cop who had pushed an Occupy Dallas protester off a four-foot ledge. Yes, you can watch that video as well. I'm told that cop has been suspended. What? Accountability? For something? For anything? Well, that's good news. He'll be back, though. Don't worry. We talked about Josh Harkinson, the Mother Jones journalist, who was pulled by a cop behind a moving truck and warned, hey, you could get hurt if you don't get lost. out in Wall Street last Tuesday when the New York police stormtroopers came in and removed the press unconstitutionally from covering the police eviction down at Zuccotti Park. I was ticked off because of the pepper spray in the face of a woman in Portland, a protester at Occupy Portland. We have that appalling photograph at Bradblog. I was furious because the Tampa police had rolled out tanks. Tanks! Into the middle of a protest in Tampa. Peaceful protesters, again, all of these people, by the way, who I've named, all peaceful protesters exercising their First Amendment right to peaceably assemble and to petition their government for redress. Every single one of them. I was ticked off because of 84-year-old Dorley Rainey. 84-year-old woman, Dorley Rainey, who was shot in the face with tear gas in Seattle by the police up there. Peaceful Dorley Rainey. So all of that had propelled me through Friday's show. 3 hours of Friday's show that I was furious about. All of that and much more. And then I get home Friday night and see what happened up at UC Davis. And see Lieutenant John Pike of the University of California Davis Police Department. And since when do universities have police departments? I went to school, we had, you know, campus security. It was an old guy in a windbreaker. So they've got a full, not just any police department, by the way, a fully outfitted paramilitary force with riot gear, beanbag rounds, pepper spray, and we see dozens of students sitting there peacefully, once again, in their own quad that they have spent thousands of dollars to be able to enjoy. Sitting there together, linking arms in a circle, and they're sprayed with pepper gas. I'm sure you've seen, I can only hope, I can only pray to God by now that you've seen the video of John Pike, the videos of John Pike spraying these kids in broad daylight. No wonder the FBI had been recommending that mayors bring in their police department stormtroopers in the middle of the night. Makes it harder to get video, doesn't it? So these kids, exercising their right to peaceably assemble, are tortured. And make no mistake, this is torture. This is not police abuse. This is not police brutality. This is torture. These kids were sitting there hurting no one, a threat to no one, but they wouldn't do what this campus security, I'm sorry, this campus police department lieutenant wanted them to do. So they were tortured until they would do it with pepper spray. Which, by the way, when something similar was done a few years ago up in the city of Eureka, they were found liable for doing this, for violating the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. So not only was their First Amendment right robbed, their Fourth Amendment rights were also robbed. You know, the one that says you can't use brutal punishment, excessive force, in violation of the Fourth Amendment. What the hell is going on in this country? We're going to talk in a little bit with Lee Fong, who's been covering UC Davis and what's been going on there. Got some remarkable video of this walk of shame. And if you haven't seen it, unbelievable walk of shame by the UC Davis chancellor. As she called a press conference on Saturday, didn't tell the students about it. They found out about it at the last minute. They showed up at the press conference. She was then afraid to leave for some 2 hours. And they finally said, "We're not here to hurt you. We'll sit down. Come right on out. Go right out to your car." And they sat down, and she had to walk for 3 blocks to her car with these kids sitting down, a haunting video, as they sat in silence and just stared at her. If you haven't seen this thing, we got it at bradblog.com. Lee Fong took the video. We're going to be talking to him a little bit later this hour. But what the hell is going on in this country? And will Barack Obama do a goddamn thing about it? Anything? You know, in the 60s, the feds came to the aid of these protesters. They stopped the local police from doing what we're seeing local police now doing now. Now the feds are advising the local police on how to do it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to play some audio from Barack Obama calling on police to leave peaceful protesters alone, demanding that they have the human rights that we all deserve. Of course, he was talking about Egypt at the time. This was back in January when he was demanding these folks be treated properly. Will he do the same thing here in these United States? I'm holding my breath. You're listening to Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Stay with us. Tell me over and over and over again, my friend, I don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, raging against the machine all night long. Glad you could join us here. Please stop by our website, BradBlog.com. Jump into the chat room. Say hello to everyone there. Buy a copy of Imagine Politique while you're there. It's a fictional thriller, political thriller about progressives and election fraud and I'm actually in it as a fictional character. You will help me out if you stop on by and do exactly that. Okay, so we're talking about this UC Davis outrage. No, I'm sorry, this UC Davis torture brought on by not just Lieutenant John Pike, but other officers in the UC Davis Police Department, including Police Chief Annette Spicuzza, who was there on Friday. The police chief was watching all of this. She saw it with her own eyes, and then she went out and lied to the press about it. There was no way out of that circle, Spicuzza said. They were cutting the officers off from their support. It's a very volatile situation, she said. I'm sorry, she lied. She lied. And you can look at the video and you can see that she lied. The cops were able to walk straight out. Nobody was obstructing them. These peaceful students were sitting there, not hurting anyone, when they were tortured by these cops. And this has now been happening all over the country, and Fox News loves to pretend that there's violence going on at these Occupy protests. Well, there is some. Guess what? It's being started by police. At occupation after occupation, the police are bringing violence to our streets. They're going against the human rights. Forget the Constitution, the human rights of these people. Now, you know who gives a damn about human rights? Our president, President Barack Obama. He believes that peaceful protesters ought to be left alone, that they ought to be able to determine the course of their government, that they oughtn't be abused by authorities. Of course, that's only when it happens, apparently, in other countries. Here was Barack Obama, right here, January 28, 2011, talking about this kind of violence being brought against peaceful protesters, not in our country, but in Egypt.
I want to be very clear in calling upon the Egyptian authorities to refrain from any violence against peaceful protesters. The people of Egypt have rights that are universal. That includes the right to peaceful assembly and association, the right to free speech, and the ability to determine their own destiny. These are human rights, and the United States will stand up for them everywhere.
Everywhere, Mr. President? Everywhere, Mr. President? Now, you say that people have rights that are universal, and you will stand up for them everywhere. Will you stand up for them here in these United States? Will you condemn the police behavior that everyone can now see with their own eyeballs? They don't have to do what we had to do in Oakland when the Brad blog went back and did an exhaustive analysis of all the videotape that was out there and available to determine whether protesters had caused violence on the streets in Oakland or whether the police did. Guess what? It was the police who did it. The police brought tear gas on these peaceful protesters. They were not provoked. You had another police chief out in Oakland who lied, who out and out lied. He said, at that point, we were in a position where we had to deploy gas in order to stop the crowd and people from pelting us with rocks and bottles. He lied. That was Police Chief Howard Jordan from the Oakland PD. He said, we felt that the deployment of gas was necessary to protect our officers and protect property around the area and to protect injuries to others as well. He lied. Just the way UC Davis Police Chief Annette Spacuzza lied. There was no way out of that circle. Go watch the videotape, liar. Oh, and Barack Obama. You said that people have rights that are universal and you will speak out for them everywhere. When will you speak out for them here in these United States as these uprisings continue to grow? And as police bring more violence to them, and as Fox News lies about them and tells America that it's the peaceful protesters who are starting the violence, when will you speak out about it, Mr. President? Anytime soon? Or will you be waiting for Occupy Democratic National Convention next year? How'd that work out in 1968, Mr. Obama? Brad, in for Malloy. Here's an ironic Twitter tweet that I just received from Claudie41. She says, Brad, sorry, you sound so much like Glenn Beck that my skin crawls. But I like what you have to say, so I'll get over it. Really? Okay. You know what? Here's the difference. I'm not lying to you. When Glenn Beck told you that the big bad government was coming at you and you had to guard yourself from them, he was lying. He was trying to scare you. I'm telling you the truth, and I have evidence to prove it. Videotape of big government tyranny all over this country as cops are bringing violence to peaceful demonstrators trying to exercise their First Amendment rights. And so all those Tea Partiers out there who bought into Glenn's BS about their rights being taken away, their constitution being taken away, they ought to be out there joining hands with the occupiers right now. Because it's true. Big government is taking your rights away. Big government is shredding your constitution. But not the way the liars, the Tea Party liars, told you about. It's the way it's happening right now on your streets. You can stop by bradblog.com and look at the video for yourself. Go to YouTube. Go to thesecondalarm.wordpress.com. That's the website, the new website of my next guest, Lee Fong, who is formerly of Think Progress, soon to be of United Republic, and occasionally he also contributes to The Nation. But as I say, you can now find him at thesecondalarm.wordpress.com, where he has been covering what's been going on up at UC Davis, the outrages going on up there, including that haunting video of Chancellor Katehi from UC Davis being forced to take a walk of shame along hundreds of silent students. If you haven't seen that video, do check it out. I forgot to mention, I'm Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. See, I got so worked up. Joining us right now from somewhere near UC Davis, I'm guessing, is Lee Fong. Hey, Lee, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad, it's great to talk to you. I just actually purchased the domain name. I started this blog on Saturday morning, so now it's just thesecondalarm.com.
Is it okay? Does it actually work already as thesecondalarm.com? Have the DNS?
Yeah, I set it up last night, and it is processed, so we're good to go.
Smartly done, man. Have you made a splash at thesecondalarm.com in just the 2 or 3 days since you've had things set up with your coverage? And by the way, Lee, I don't think I've ever had you on the air before, so let me take the opportunity to say you are terrific. Your reporting over at Think Progress over the past couple of years was just extraordinary, and the work that you've done at UC Davis at your new site is absolutely no exception. So thank you for all that work, and thanks for joining us tonight. What is Lee? I'm going to play the video momentarily here of Katehi, the chancellor of UC Davis. She seems unable to understand, it seems to me, the depth of the problem here. She gave 3 different statements over the past 3 days prior to today where she talked about being saddened by what happened with the police. But she never condemned them. She never said she was appalled by them. And I suspect had a student pepper sprayed peaceful police, she certainly would have condemned them. But that's not the case when the police do it to peaceful students. So I'm going to play her her latest remarks on this. But before I do, any thoughts that you have about the way that she is handling this and how that is playing on the campus tonight at UC Davis?
Well, you know, I listened to the press conference Saturday afternoon before that occurred a couple hours before that video we posted. And, you know, she was very cavalier when she responded to some of the initial questions from the press. And this was, of course, almost 24 hours after the initial incident on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, when she was asked about a call for resignation, she kind of dismissed it and said, "Oh, that's something I've heard about on the blogs," even though the union had already voted to call for a resignation, the board.
That's the UC Davis faculty actually called for her resignation, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And she knew that, but she kind of, at the time, dismissed it and said, "Oh, that's coming from the blogs. It's silly. It's inappropriate." And they just kind of continued. And I even spoke to one of these young students who were pepper sprayed directly in the face on Friday. They said that administration never contacted them to see if they were okay. The police, when they asked the police for help and what to do about their friends who kind of inhaled this, they refused to help. It was only the fire department and the EMTs. Even the school administrators down on a lower level than Katehi never reached out to make sure they were okay. And this girl was having asthma attacks. So, I mean, it wasn't just aloof rhetoric that we heard from the administration for a good 48 hours. And there's still kind of disconnected feeling between Katehi and the students. But it's been, you know, just blunder after blunder.
It has. And incredibly, she went on ABC News Good Morning America today, and she said that she's not going to resign because, quote, "the university needs me." And she talked about the reason that she needs to stay there. One of the reasons is because she needs to make sure the students are safe. And as a matter of fact, that's what she used initially when she responded, that it was because of the health and safety of the students, apparently, that they had to, you know, pepper spray them in the face. This is, to me, astounding. Lee, let me play, if you don't mind. I'd like to play her remarks to be as fair as I can here. These were the remarks that she gave this afternoon as recorded by Lee Fong, who is my guest here on The Mike Malloy Show. This is his video recording of Linda P.B. Katehi, the chancellor of UC Davis, as she finally spoke directly to the students. And, Lee, how many folks would you estimate were in the campus quad there to listen to these remarks?
It's really hard to say. I've heard estimates of as high as 15,000. I use that figure in the blog, but, you know, I would keep looking. That's only one source that says that so far, but it was a ton of people.
Yeah, clearly a ton at a minimum, and certainly thousands. Okay, here was Chancellor Katehi's remarks to the students today.
I'm here to apologize. I really feel horrible for what happened on Friday. If you think you don't want to be students in a university like we had on Friday, I'm just telling you, I don't want to be the chancellor of the university we had on Friday.
Quitting? Is she going to quit? Is she going
to
quit?
Our university has to be better than it is. And it needs all of the community to come together to do that. We need to work together. And I know you may not believe anything that I'm telling you today, and you don't have to. It is my responsibility to earn your trust. I only have to say one thing. There is a plaque out there that speaks about 17th of November of 1973. And I was there. And I don't want to forget that. So I hope that I will have a better opportunity to work with you, to meet you, to get to know you. And there will be many opportunities in the next few weeks to do that.
This is an on-site
That was UC Davis Chancellor Linda P.B. Katehi earlier this afternoon speaking to students in the wake of the pepper spray torture, and I call it torture, that was applied to peaceful demonstrators there on Friday. The audio was taken by Lee Fong, who is my guest right now. Lee, how did those thousands in the crowd there, of those you could actually speak to, those students there, how did they react to those remarks? And that was her full remarks, by the way. How did they react?
The video kind of cut off there, and I think that was my fault. But there were a few chants after she left later on, resign, that sort of thing. But, you know, I was overall pretty impressed by how few jeers there were and how respectful people were. One person kind of interrupted her towards the end, but I don't know if he was a student. He looked like he was a little bit older than most of the other students.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting thing because you had an hour and a half before she came to the stage of student after student recounting these really emotional stories about how they were hurt by the pepper spray, or seeing their girlfriend get hurt and stung by the pepper spray and feeling so helpless because you couldn't help her with the police there. There were, you know, really moving stories, but despite all the suspense and the rah-rah kind of pep rally feeling that you had for a little while there, it was a little bit anticlimactic. She was just so vague, and I think people saw her trembling there for a moment, and they felt a touch of sympathy for her. And it was interesting. It was a thoughtful moment.
And she did. She got a bit teary there. She referred to a plaque from 17 November 1973. Do you know what that was in reference to, Lee?
I believe it was the Polytechnic that when the Greek junta suppressed students. I could be wrong though.
Hmm. Well, I'm just amazed still that she does not seem to get it. She did not, of course, she did not resign. She's going to fight, apparently. We should add that two UC Davis police officials have been put on paid administrative leave. That would be Lieutenant John Pike, the guy who is most famously seen spraying those students with pepper spray, although other officers were doing so as well as Police Chief Annette Spicuzza, who actually was on site on Friday and lied to the media afterwards, claiming there was no way out of that circle, that police officers were, that students were cutting the officers off from their support, which if you watch those videos, clearly that's a lie. Last night, you know what, Lee, can you hang around for another minute or so here?
Sure.
Okay, great. Speaking with Lee Fong, formerly of Think Progress, now of thesecondalarm.com, about this madness up in UC Davis. Going to talk to him more straight ahead. Stay with us. Brad, in for Mike Malloy.
This is a public service announcement with guitar.
That right may not apply anymore on the University of California campuses. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike tonight. Brad of bradblog.com. I'm joined by the great journalist Lee Fong, formerly of Think Progress, now of thesecondalarm.com, discussing this UC Davis outrage, the torture of students last Friday with pepper spray. As they were peacefully exercising their First Amendment rights. Lee has been doing a tremendous job of covering that live and on the ground, bringing us a lot of the video, the audio, and the important reporting that is, well, I don't know how much is getting out to the mainstream media, but it's getting out to us at bradblog.com and anybody else who's bothering to pay attention to what's really going on in this country. Lee, I want to talk about that that walk of shame Saturday night, because that was absolutely extraordinary and chilling. Give us very quickly the circumstances that led up to that walk of shame that you captured in that haunting video that's like a Twilight Zone episode, by the way. Tell us what happened there, how things got to that point on Saturday night.
It was a tremendous moment. You know, at 4 o'clock on Saturday, the chancellor, who had at that point had only emailed the students and kind of didn't take seriously the incident on Friday and didn't condemn the police. She took questions from the media, and at the end of that press conference, a little after 4 o'clock, a group of students massed outside to talk to her because they hadn't spoke to her since the incident.
Yeah.
She refused to take those questions. Someone from her side suggested that she was feeling threatened. Maybe it was some type of hostage situation because you had this like angry mob of kids outside. And
there were hundreds of kids gathered outside that that little house where she was holding that press conference, right?
Yes, and the numbers grew. But what actually happened was a few of the students tried to go in and do a sit-in. They were ordered out. And as soon as it became clear that she wouldn't come out and address them, they cleared a large path to let her come out. There was kind of chanting for a couple hours, I believe like 2.5, telling her to come out, that they don't want to bother her. And one chant was just, please go home and just go home. And eventually, one person who was actually hit by pepper spray, he was one of the people standing, just hit him downwind. But he led a group of people who did a mic check that had people, I would say about 1,000 students, line up, back up, sit down, and lock arms to look as non-threatening as possible, and to open it up so the people were only on one side. And eventually she came
so
out
they were,
and
so they lined up only on one side of the road there so that she wouldn't feel that she was boxed in, right? That was part
exactly.
of the – okay.
Mm-hmm. And so she came out, and, you know, you could hear a pin drop. It was amazing that the discipline and the maturity of a lot of these kids is just – after, you know, I can only imagine how angry they were, especially the ones who had friends, who had relationships with people who were – directly pepper spray, how they could just hold it in and not even say a word.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I don't think the video even fully captured it. One, because it was so dark, you couldn't even see how in the beginning of the walk there were rows of kids, you know?
I'll tell you what, anybody who I have spoken to or the commenters who looked at this video, and if you haven't seen this video, unfortunately it doesn't play well on radio because it's largely silent. It's her, you know, the clicking of her heels as she's walking down this line. I've never seen anything like it. I think it's perhaps the most powerful moment I've seen so far, among many powerful moments in this Occupy movement. If you haven't seen that video, check it out at bradblog.com. I've got it. It's Lee's video. You can see it at the original site at thesecondalarm.com. Very quickly, we're on the top of the hour, Lee. So very quickly, you know, Chancellor Robert Bergoglio up at UC Berkeley was also similarly offensive, I thought, after police were slamming batons into peaceful protesters up there. He claimed that linking arms is not a nonviolent form of civil disobedience somehow, even though it's been done for 50 years at least as part of the civil rights movement. Is there any kind of a similar call up there at UC Berkeley for that chancellor to be removed following that incident?
You know, you've covered this much better than I have. I was in Berkeley last week for some of the protests, and I talked to some of the students. And it's interesting, although there's this really similar dynamic that you're describing with Berkeley, I think a lot of the students are aiming their anger at more structural reforms, like reforming the UC Regents. I see that as kind of like a coalescing message right now.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see that the both chancellors have acted so ham-handedly.
They really have. And out here in oh-so-liberal California, right, Lee? Lee Fong of thesecondalarm.com, formerly of Think Progress, please follow his amazing reporting, and I really mean that, over at thesecondalarm.com. Thanks for everything, Lee. We'll talk soon.
Brad, great to be on your show finally. Really enjoyed it. Obviously, I'm a huge fan, so it's great to be here.
Thank you, brother. It's been my honor. All right, we'll come back with a whole bunch more Occupation Nation and some other stuff straight ahead. You're listening to Brad Friedman on The Mike Malloy Show. Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, occupier, and all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com. Once again, drafted into duty here on your public airwaves all this week. Well, at least until Thanksgiving, Thursday. Glad you could join us tonight as Mike is taking some well-deserved days off prior to the holiday. And apparently I am raging in his place tonight because there is much to rage about. Just incredible what we're seeing going on all over the country. And yet, you know, the corporate media, obviously, as usual, is not covering it in such a way that it keeps Fox News from being able to lie about it to their viewers. They're able to, I'll play a clip in a minute that'll similarly tick you off. This week, tonight's Malloy Show and all this week is sponsored by Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique, American Democracy, Politics in Crisis, which is a fictional political thriller. And it's a really cool story. It's a really cool story about a three-way election for president between a Republican, a Democrat, and a progressive independent who ends up winning, at least being announced the winner on election night, until some guy, a character by the name of, and I'm kidding you not, a character by the name of Brad Friedman is brought into a meeting to discuss the fact that there may have been some chicanery on electronic voting machines in Georgia. And, you'll have to read the book to find out what happens. But Richard Averitt has been kind enough to donate a number of copies of Imagine Politique to the Brad blog for us to make available to you, signed copies as premiums in support of the Brad blog and tonight of Mike Malloy. So please stop by MikeMalloy.com too. But then stop by and get a podcast subscription. Yeah, that's a good idea. Then stop by BradBlog.com and get yourself a signed copy of Imagine Politique to help me and Mike and all of us progressive voices out here continue to exercise our free speech, even if you may not be allowed to do that anymore on the streets of this nation. And why? Why? Well, apparently because Barack Obama doesn't feel like saying anything about it, doesn't feel like stopping these cops from causing the violence that they're causing, doesn't feel like speaking out about it, even though back in January, the president of the United States was more than happy to speak out about violence against peaceful protesters when in January he had this to say.
I want to be very clear in calling upon the Egyptian authorities to refrain from any violence against peaceful protesters. The people of Egypt have rights that are universal. That includes the right to peaceful assembly and association, the right to free speech, and the ability to determine their own destiny. These are human rights, and the United States will stand up for them everywhere.
Everywhere except here, apparently, because the White House has yet to say a word to condemn the violence that we have seen around these Occupy Wall Street protesters, Occupy Wall Street protests, as bought on by police in state after state, protest after protest, which has allowed the liars and charlatans and thieves and punks and jokesters and con men and propagandists at Fox News to tell America that it's the protesters who are causing the problems. We've got the video, we've got the reports, we've got the firsthand accounts at BradBlog.com showing that it is quite the opposite. And yet, Sunday, on Fox News Sunday, Chris Wallace was allowed to go on the air and lie, as he does, lie about these peaceful protests, as Juan Williams, the closest thing to a not crazy right winger, tried to get in a word edgewise. He was cut off by Chris Wallace, even as Juan Williams was trying to make his point. And Tony, let's play a clip of this. I may have to stop and start this a bit because I may have some comments I want to throw in. Go ahead. This is from Fox News.
So the overwhelming impact in terms of that presidential campaign is that the Republicans in this time of Occupy Wall Street are the protectors of the super rich. At the moment,
I'm not sure if we should talk about Occupy Wall Street as a plus anymore.
Yeah, I think we
should. Stop it there. Stop it. We should. It's not a plus anymore. It's not. We've lied about them. We've told everybody that they're violent. We've told, over at Breitbart site, Mike Flynn, the editor of a big government, that website, the phony website that pretends to give a damn about big government abuse of its citizens, about big government tyranny, but the, in fact, doesn't really care about it at all, over at biggovernment.com. Ha, 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 ha. Mike Flynn, the editor-in-chief, reported that there was a murder at Occupy Savannah last week out in Georgia. Ha, 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 ha. Turns out there was a murder, but it wasn't at Occupy Savannah. It was about 10 miles away, and it had nothing to do with the protest. But Mike Flynn refuses to correct the record. And, oh, yeah, Fox News then talked about the guy who was taking shots at the White House trying to assassinate the president. Hey, he was the, quote, Occupy shooter. Ha, 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 ha. Isn't that hysterical? That's the kind of thing that you get to hear on Fox News Sunday. Not on Fox News Channel, by the way. This is a Fox News Sunday. Much bigger audience on the big Fox network where Chris Wallace was lying about protesters. Go ahead. Play some more of that, Tom.
Yeah, I think we should because the
you really?
Ask, yeah,
because really? With,
if you,
with all the violence in the streets, you really think the most of the American people
are getting this? Oh, all the violence in the streets. Yeah, who brought that violence in the streets, Chris Wallace? It wasn't the protesters, was it? No, it wasn't. It was the cops. It was the cops, but you don't feel like telling America that, do you? Because you're a liar. Because you're on Fox News. And you're lying. You're lying to millions of Americans about their country. And you don't give a damn, do you, Chris Wallace? You don't give a damn about the truth. You're neither fair nor balanced, nor are you telling the truth. All right, Tony, play some more.
People are getting distracted, and you're getting distracted by simply, you know, people who are crazy.
I think I'm in touch with
people.
What most people are thinking, which
you're
is they're not. Getting fed up with it.
You're not. The fact is, when you ask most people, is Wall Street out of control? Does there inequality in terms of income in this country? People say yes, and those are the basic tenets of Occupy Wall Street that have trouble on the streets, by the way,
okay.
Globally.
Let me finish my point.
The point is, Juan,
there's a limit, and we want to play fair here.
You're not playing fair, but go right ahead.
Yes, we want to play fair here, says Chris Wallace, after telling people that there's violence in the streets, not mentioning that it's violence that are brought on by the police who are robbing the citizens of this nation of their constitutional rights, the very thing that Fox used to pretend that it cared about. But that's what we expect. That's what we expect from Fox News. But you got to wonder, you know, this is why they're out in the streets. If you look what happened up at UC Davis, it's not about this chancellor, Linda Katehi. They're calling for her resignation because she just, you know, failed. Just couldn't possibly condemn the police who shot to protesters. And, you know, and I've talked to people. I'm not going to name any names here. Tony, but I've talked to people who have said, they wanted to, they were asking for it. They were sitting there locking hands. They weren't following the orders of the police. They were breaking the laws. We have laws in this country. Well, that's true. We have laws in this country. I don't think there is a law against sitting in your own quad on your own campus at UC Davis. I don't think there's a law against that. But yes, the police said, oh, you can't sit here peacefully. You must disperse at this time. It was also a law that was violated by Rosa Parks when she sat on that bus and said, no, I'm not going to move to the back of the bus. I'm going to stay right here in the front seat. Yes, I know it's illegal, but I'm not moving. Now, that was illegal. So would anybody have been defending the police had they pulled out pepper spray and shot Rosa Parks in the face with pepper spray because she wouldn't move to the back of the bus? If you wouldn't have done that, then what the hell is the difference now? When you see 20 kids tortured on the campus of a public university. What the hell is the difference? So it's not about this Chancellor Linda Katehi. Yes, she doesn't get it. What this is about is accountability. What this about, this entire movement is about, is accountability. In a country, in a nation that doesn't believe it exists anymore, that doesn't believe there is accountability. In a country that sees kids arrested, 84-year-old women pepper sprayed in the face for exercising their rights, and then they're arrested. They're thrown in jail. The little guys, the low and middle income, they're thrown in jail. And yet we see the guys who have destroyed the worldwide economy. Why haven't any bankers been pepper sprayed? Why aren't they shooting off tear gas inside of Goldman Sachs? Inside of Citibank to get the goddamn bankers out? They get away with it. This is about accountability. And because there is no more accountability for the rich and powerful in this country, they have continued over the past 30 years or more to get away with whatever the hell it is they want, and nothing ever changes in this country. And the only price that is paid by the little guy, is paid by the guy who has to go out and give his life in Iraq or Afghanistan because the president lied and knew about it, lied about war. Or the fireman, or the school teacher, or the nurse who was laid off because the rich guys screwed up the economy. The 99% pays the price. The 1% pays nothing. And there is no accountability. And that's what this is about. Brad in from Molloy.
Can't see nothing in front of me. Can't see nothing coming up behind. Make my way through this darkness. I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. How far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On the backs of 60-pound stones. On the shoulder, half mile line. Come on up for the rising.
Yeah. Come on. Welcome back to The Rising. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Molloy. My guest appearances this week sponsored by Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique, American Democracy, Politics in Crisis, an explosive political thriller in which I actually appear as a fictional character. Ernie Canning reviewed it for BradBlog. He said that there is an explosive ending that makes this a must-read political thriller. If you buy a copy, Richard Averitt will sign it for you, I will send it to you, and I will be most grateful because it will allow the BradBlog.com to continue our work into this election year coming up. I'll have a few thoughts on some elections in a moment, and election integrity, and, oh, some death threats in the state of Wisconsin. So stop by BradBlog.com if you don't mind. You will be doing me a great favor if you buy a copy of a signed copy of Imagine Politique. Just go to BradBlog.com. You'll see a big banner there near the top that says support the BradBlog in advance of Election 212. Cool new premium offer. So thank you in advance for you truth seekers out there who can support the work that I do. I greatly appreciate it. All right. Speaking of Fox News, and I will get to the Wisconsin elections and some other things in a moment. But a new poll from Fairleigh Dickinson University says that watching certain sources, news sources, especially Fox News, can actually make you less informed about what's going on in the world. This is a poll, according to 612 folks in New Jersey. People who watch Fox News, the most popular of the 24-hour cable news networks, are 18 points less likely to know what that Egyptians overthrew their government than those who watch no news at all. And this was, by the way, after controlling for other news sources, partisanship, education, other demographic factors. Fox News watchers are also 6 points less likely to know that Syrians have not yet overthrown their government than those who watch no news. If you watch Fox News, you will know less about news than if you watch no news. Do you get it? Dan Cassino, a professor of political science at Fairleigh Dickinson, and an analyst for the Public Mind poll said that because of the controls for partisanship, we know these results are not just driven by Republicans or other groups being more likely to watch Fox News. Rather, the results show us that there is something about watching Fox News that leads people to do worse on these questions than those who don't watch any news at all. So there you go. Want to stay smart? Want to stay informed? Watch no news at all if your only choice is Fox News. 57% of CNN and MSNBC viewers answered the Hosni Mubarak question correctly, compared to just 49% of Fox News viewers. You can read more about that at nationalmemo.com. Unbelievable. Well, I shouldn't say unbelievable. It's perfectly believable. All right. I got no time to go yet into the death threats that have now been waged against folks in Wisconsin who are supporting the recall of Scott Walker. I will do that after this break. We'll also try to get to some of your calls pretty soon. 877-520-1150. Oh, we're going to have to go into the fourth hour tonight. I can tell already. We're just going to... Don't worry, affiliates, there is no fourth hour. Maybe someday there will be. 877-520-1150 will be our phone number. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, and Fox is on the run. We'll be back.
Come speak the truth, come break it down. Where are the youth? We need you now. If there ever was a time, it would be now to make the masters see this. If there ever was a time to get downtown again, not by men.
Get downtown. Get downtown. Keep it going. I like this. Keep it going.
Everywhere you go,
Third Eye Blind.
It's Zuccotti Park.
Get down to Zuccotti Park.
Plan. We'll sit down, man. I'll tell you again. The plan to stand together up to green.
Uh-huh.
And a tear gas can in a veteran's face won't change the case.
I love that.
Where are the
tear gas can in a veteran's case won't veteran's face won't change the case. I love that. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Brad of bradblog.com. Thanks for staying with us tonight. Don't forget to stop by the bradblog.com chat room and say hello to all the Malloyalists in there. They're a fun bunch and a lively bunch. And while you're there, please hit that link at the top of the page for Imagine Politique, a very cool new political thriller. Great, just in time for Christmas, signed by the author, and it will support the Brad blog. And you'll learn a lot about what I do because it's got me showing up with the president-elect. Yes, me, Brad Friedman, in fictional person. In this story, speaking of Zuccotti Park, if you hadn't noticed, Mayor, what the hell is his name? Bloomberg, Mubarak. I get confused. I think it's Bloomberg. He came out this weekend with a terror warning. They've caught a plotter, a terror plotter, who was in the. Well, he was kind of starting to sort of, he was thinking about making some pipe bombs. Didn't we use to, pipe bombs? Pipe bombs? That's what the mafia, didn't they used to leave a pipe bomb in a nightclub if you weren't paying them off? Pipe bomb, that's not terror, that's a pipe. Oh, and by the way, the thing was completely phony. There was a source who was giving him the material to make this. He didn't have the means to make it on his own, and that's why federal authorities passed on the case. They wanted nothing to do with it. One federal source told Talking Points Memo, Ryan Riley over there, on Sunday night that the FBI passed several times on this case. And an official told Associated Press on Monday that Pimentel, he's the 27-year-old accused of plotting this attack in New York, quote, didn't have the predisposition or the ability to do anything on his own. That's leaving observers wondering what exactly the feds didn't like about the case and setting up another squabble in the long-running turf war between the New York Police Department and the FBI. You can read about it at Talking Points Memo. Actually, go better than that, go to Empty Wheel, emptywheel.com, I think, or emptywheel.net. Anyway, she's got the lowdown on this pageant, this phony pageant to distract from what Mike Bloomberg did last week in Zuccotti Park and the rights that he trampled on. We have word tonight that a cross-section of 13 news organizations in New York City have lodged complaints about the New York Police Department's treatment of journalists covering the Occupy Wall Street movement. Separately, 10 press clubs, unions, and other groups that represent journalists called for an investigation and said that they had formed a coalition to monitor police behavior going forward. Yes, the press were kept out in the middle of the night when, again, for their health and safety, NYPD cops in riot gear came down, tear gas protesters, threw them out into the streets in the middle of the night, threw them out in the middle of the night onto the streets at 2 a.m. for their health and safety. In any case, the letter from these journalist organizations said that there were, quote, numerous inappropriate, if not unconstitutional, actions and abuses by the police against both, quote, credentialed and non-credentialed journalists. In the last few days, they have requested an immediate meeting with the city's police commissioner, Raymond Kelly, and his chief spokesman, Paul Brown. Of course, that's when Ray Kelly is not busy announcing phony terror plots against New York City, where the guy is making a pipe bomb with Christmas lights that he got from Home Depot and sulfur that he scraped off of matches. No, I'm not kidding. That was the great terror threat that they had to break into the cable stations over the weekend with. I wonder if that was meant to distract from Mike, what's his name? Gaddafi? Bloomberg? Bloomberg, that's it. You know, in Tahrir Square in Egypt, where fighting goes on tonight still, and protesters are again being hurt. I'm sure Obama will be mad about that soon, because it happened in Egypt, not here. But they promised not to leave until Mubarak stepped down. Maybe they ought to do that now in New York City. Until Bloomberg steps down. Until Katehi out in UC Davis steps down. Until there is some accountability somewhere, somehow, for all that has gone on. Accountability against the people who brung this mess, against the people who created this, not the people who are suffering from it, not the 99%. Good Lord. All right, our phone number is 877-520-1150. I got a lot more here that I want to get into tonight, but if you'd like to get in line here, third hour is going to be nothing but your calls if I have anything to say about it. But I wanted to, last Friday, we discussed the sabotage that a number of folks up in Wisconsin, supporters of Governor Mike Walker, were talking about sabotaging, collecting petitions in this recall Walker effort that has now begun. They were collecting, they were talking openly on Facebook about destroying petitions. They were going to go out, collect petitions, collect signatures, thousands of them, they said. And then shred them, or burn them, or not turn them in, which is, of course, a felony. And I had on a reporter, Denise Lockwood, from the Caledonia Patch, who had a source who said that he was going to be one of the folks doing this, destroying signatures, that he had already collected 150 petitions. He knew two other people who were going to do the same, not turn them in or destroy them, and that there were thousands of others out there doing that. That source of hers, who she has decided to not identify, I think she should, because this fellow was in the middle of a crime. He is now, that source has said that he's changed his mind, he had a change of heart, he's not going to do it. I had invited, when I had Denise Lockwood on the air last Friday, I had invited her to tell her source I'd love to have him on the air to talk about this. And I don't even need to know his name. I don't need to know who he is. I don't need to identify him. I would like to talk to him, though, and find out if he has any evidence that he has done the right thing here. And if he has done the right thing here, why he's not talking to the authorities about this plot, this conspiracy that he says some 1,000 people could be participating in. In any case, we get fresh news today that the supporters of Governor Walker, that destroying petitions is not enough for them. Now they are making death threats against those folks who are out there collecting petitions in this, signatures in this petition drive. Channel 3000 in Madison reports today that the threats involved phone calls from an area code in Minnesota. The calls came overnight after Walker's opponents began the recall, said Madison resident Tom Peer, who said he received a phone call at 2 a.m. on Thursday. Quote, they said, if you don't stop circulating petitions, we will kill you. said Pierre. A similar call came to Heather Dubois Bournon of Sun Prairie. The United Wisconsin recall worker jumped out of bed when her phone rang around 4 a.m. on Thursday. Quote, he said, I had attracted the attention of some very bad people and my life and the lives of my family were in danger, Bournon said. She called Sun Prairie police, who confirmed investigators were working on the case. If you can't win, cheat, lie, steal, shred petitions, burn them, discredit your enemy by lying about them, make death threats to them in the middle of the night. Apparently, that is the right's version of democracy now in this country, and they feel they can get away with it. They feel they can talk about it openly on Facebook because they know damn well that there is no accountability anymore in this country for wrongdoers. If you are supporting the 1%, if you are part of the right, you can get away with damn near anything. And they know it. And that's why they talk about it openly. We'll continue to follow that story. Oh, by the way, my invitation to that source from of Denise Lockwood's in the Caledonia Patch, he has declined so far to come on the air with me to talk about it. I have resent my invitation. I'd love to have him on. I'd love to hear what evidence he has that he has done the right thing, that he hasn't burned, shredded, or just thrown away hundreds of recall Walker signatures. Governor Scott Walker, the anti-union Republican governor, is under fire, of course, for his anti-union bills, and the Democrats and supporters of labor supporters have until about mid-January to come up with just over 500,000, more than half a million signatures. But they say they're well on their way. They, over the last 4 days since the recall campaign has been on, they say they have gathered more than 100,000 signatures already. And that's with Governor Walker's supporters shredding thousands of them, for all we know. Let's take a quick call. Speaking of Michigan, Wisconsin. Jim in Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What is on your mind, brother?
Well, lots of things, and you're covering quite a few of them. But the death threats, you know, Mao Zedong said politics is bloodless war, but I guess the right wing's kind of expanding it and blurring the line between the two.
Bringing the blood, actual blood, yeah.
But we had a real love fest on Saturday. We had a huge rally at the Capitol, and I was out on the street flagging people into the rotunda where mm-hmm. we had the world's largest recall Walker sign made by Jason Huberty. It's huge. 8 foot tall letters, and it was draped over the balcony. It was magnificent. You'll see the pictures, I'm sure, online.
Are you guys think you're going to be able to get 500? And I think it's 34,000 signatures in the next 60 days.
You mentioned it was 105,000 by the end of Friday. So
right.
It was just Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, but that was, of course, people who have been waiting, for months to get this thing going. Now it gets tough. Yeah.
The weekend was pretty big, though, too. I'm sure they're probably approaching like 200,000. I'm not quite sure, but I would think from the pace and what I've seen and heard from various sources. But,
and if they get them on the ballot, are you guys going to be able to know whether the ballots have been counted at all or counted accurately?
Well, that's the thing. The way they're going at these petitions, the same problem as the votes. And there's a group of us that formed the Wisconsin Citizens for Election Protection, and now have morphed into Wisconsin Counts, and we're particularly concerned about this. I mean, election fraud in the state of Wisconsin goes back to 1855. The Supreme Court had to make a decision in that. And we organized the group after seeing the recount in the Supreme Court election and all the open bags and the mislabeled stuff that was occurring, especially in Waukesha County.
Yeah. Occurred all over the state, too, by the way. It was worse in Waukesha, but there was ripped, torn bags, ballots that nobody has. The Government Accountability Board told me during that recount that they can't guarantee that the ballots that were counted during the election were actually the ballot during the recount were actually the ballots that were cast on Election Day.
Yeah, that's right, because the state of Wisconsin doesn't put out the GAB doesn't put out any standards for sealing the bags
nope.
at all, and so
yeah.
we were training the clerks on how to properly seal the bags. And that's just using these plastic things that are supposed to lock. But I understand a professor from New Jersey, Andrew Appel, can defeat those in 12 seconds.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't matter. By the way, Jim, it doesn't matter whether they lock or not, because if they show up at a recount and they're wide open and you can reach your hand in and you can pull out hundreds of them, they count them anyway. They don't
yeah.
care. Listen, I got to get to a break, Jim, but what's the you got a website for Wisconsin Counts?
It's WisconsinCounts.org, and we're getting it up and running. But what I wanted to mention is that it's against the law in Wisconsin for the election workers to actually count the ballots if they've been put through these optical scan machines.
It is. You got to go to court to be allowed to count them by hand. It's madness. Thanks, Jim. I got to run. We're going to get to a break. Keep up the good fight, WisconsinCounts.org. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay tuned.
Light will see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
54 minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. Holiday week. Aren't we all happy? Isn't this fun? Brad of BradBlog.com. Please stop on by our chat room over there. Say hi to everyone and get yourself a copy of Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique. Ernie Canning writes that the book examines the pernicious impact of corporate money and power not only upon the two major political parties, but upon the acceptable range of discourse. He hints that the book's explosive ending makes this a must-read political thriller, offering a fundamental argument against compromising of the core principles of democratic governance. It also happens to feature a fictional character named Brad Friedman, an election integrity expert. So please stop on by, get that book signed by the author, send it to your right-wing brother-in-law as a Christmas gift. It's the least you could do today, because at the same time, you'll be ticking him off and supporting Brad Blog and the Mike Malloy Show. So go to BradBlog.com, get a copy of that. 877-520-1150. Let me get to Peter in San Francisco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. I've only got a minute or so here, but what is on your mind, my friend? Uh-oh.
I'm not one of those people who say that the Occupy movement needs one consistent message. And I was, and I am, a little ambivalent about the concept of camping. But then over the weekend, it occurred to me, these slogans occurred to me, and I hope you will like them. I hope the listeners will pass them on. I hope to see them on signs at some of the protests. If corporations are people, campsites are people, right?
Well, if free speech is money, then so is a tent.
Yeah, and my second one, exactly that. If money is free speech, so is camping.
I mean,
we have a precedent in history, sitting at lunch counters, marching, physical activities that have counted in our minds and perhaps legally as free speech.
Yep.
But money is just a concept. It isn't speech. It's not even.
Peter, you're absolutely right, Peter. The camping, the occupying, that is the expression. And when you cut off the expression, you're violating the rights of these folks. Thanks, Peter.
But
I appreciate. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Very, very quickly, very quickly. Are you the one who had the story about Ruth Bader Ginsburg's husband working for Acorn? Remember that great story you had?
I don't, but if it was a great story, I'm sure it was mine. Thanks, Peter. I got to get to a break.
Thank you. All right.
I'll try to figure it out over the break. All right. A Cambridge Knitter in the chat room says, so I can get pepper sprayed for, say, speeding? Yes, you can, Cambridge Knitter. It's illegal. You can be pepper sprayed for anything. Don't you know that? This is America. Welcome to it. Chris in New York, you're against Occupy Wall Street. Hang on the line. I'm going to look forward to that call in the next hour. 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike. Stay tuned. Welcome back. It is 6 minutes after the hour, hour number three of your Mike Malloy Show. Glad you can be with us here, Truth Seekers. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, an all-around swell fellow occupying your public airwaves all this week. As Mike takes a few days off, glad you could be with us here. Going to take your calls this hour. So if you'd like to get in, now's the time to do it. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. And if you didn't know, I'm always happy to take calls from people who don't agree with me about anything you might have heard on tonight's program or anything that may be on your mind. Even if you do agree with me, we'd love to hear from you, too. We believe in freedom of speech around here. We don't just pretend like we do. We actually do. We're actually offended when big government takes it away from citizens. We're offended when big government tyranny is used against citizens who are trying to exercise their First Amendment rights, when they're trying to use any of their constitutional rights, frankly. We actually mean it. It's not for the benefit of any political party like it is when folks on the right say it, when they lie to you about it. We actually mean it. 877-520-1150. This hour of the Malloy Show is again brought to you by Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique, a political thriller in which Brad Friedman, that's me, stars as a, I don't star, I am featured as part of this political thriller as a fictional character who has to come in and tell the president-elect that there has been electronic voting fraud. No, I'm sorry, electronic election fraud. See, even I'm doing it in the state of Georgia. It's a really cool book. Check it out. Get a signed copy at bradblog.com. Read it for yourself for the progressive politics therein and the fundamental argument against compromising core principles of democratic governance that it features, as Ernie Canning puts it. And then give another copy to your right-wing brother-in-law. Tell him he needs to learn something. Tell him to turn off Fox News because he knows less about the news by watching Fox than he would if he watched nothing at all, according to Fairleigh Dickinson University. The caller in the last hour, Peter, I'm reminded, had mentioned, yes, I did report on these very airwaves that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that her husband gave money to or received hundreds of thousands of dollars from Acorn. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg refused to, well, she lied on her disclosure forms and she didn't tell anybody. So the Republicans need to get right on that right away. She didn't do that. I'm sorry. It was Justice Clarence Thomas who lied on his disclosure forms, and it wasn't money that was received from Acorn. It was his wife. She received money from Heritage Foundation, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. And there's been no investigation, nobody calling for his impeachment. Hey, here's an idea, Occupy Wall Street. Why don't you, you know, say you're going to keep the occupation going until Clarence Thomas, the scofflaw, the criminal who lied, the justice, Supreme Court justice who lied, until he steps down. How about that? There's one simple demand. There's some accountability. Speaking of Occupy Wall Street demands, and Chris, hang on, I'm about to get to you in New York. I know you want to disagree with me, and I want to give you that opportunity. But I also wanted to remember this week that I had put forward a suggestion for Occupy Wall Street. Not that they need my suggestions for demands, but there's one very important one that I wanted to make sure that occupiers out there heard loud and clear, and I may even read it more than once this week. But it's very simple. It's two sentences long. I can't imagine how anyone in either the Tea Party or the Occupy Wall Street, which should be one and the same, by the way, because, you know, Tea Partiers acted like they wanted accountability. They were against the banks using government dollars to screw the little man. Well, yeah, that's what Occupy Wall Street's about, too. Anyway, here's the one demand I suggest. Every U.S. citizen 18 years of age or older who wishes to vote gets to vote, period. Who could disagree with that? Every U.S. citizen 18 years of age or older who wishes to vote gets to vote, period. Here's the second sentence. Those votes on hand-marked paper ballots will be counted publicly by hand on election night at the precinct in front of all observers and video cameras. There you go. Those are my suggested demands for Occupy Wall Street. I wrote them down at Brad Blog. Please sing them loud and clear. And by the way, who would be against that either in the Tea Party, right? That will keep Acorn from being able to steal the election, you see, because we'll count the ballots in front of everyone. And that way they won't be able to cheat. Not that they do. All right. Let me get not that Acorn does. The folks who run the elections, the insiders, that's a different story. Okay, 877-520-1150. Let's go to Chris in New York. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir, and thank you for holding.
Thanks, Brad. No problem. It's good to speak with you. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. What's on your mind, brother?
Well, you know, it was interesting because I heard, I guess it was Peter calling earlier and talking about Occupy Wall Street, that they don't necessarily need one agenda. And as somebody who lives in New York and is involved in the financial system, I disagree with that. And I want them to achieve a goal. You can't achieve all of your goals. And when I walk past these protesters and I see a lot of different signs for a lot of different things, and it doesn't get at the heart of the problem. And if I think you're right that there are a lot more similarities than differences between the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street, and it all focuses on some of the things that you talked about, which is that sort of government tyranny in one form or another. To think that you can't, a lot of these problems are created by big government policies, whether it's student loans out of control or mortgages out of control.
Hang on one second. You're saying that the big government policies have put student loans out of control?
Yes.
Now, how is that?
Well, if you think about how the student loans are funded, a lot of that is funded through government loans and grants, whether they're subsidized or otherwise.
What's wrong with the government loans or grants to send our citizens to college?
The more money that there is available mm-hmm. for loans,
yeah.
the more people that have access to credit, and the more money that colleges and universities can charge. So if in fact that money wasn't available
uh-huh.
to all of these people,
right.
it would force all of these institutions to have lower prices. So that's
okay.
I'm telling you the way that it works on Wall Street, with the way that the securitization process works and the way that the money is.
So created. You would be in favor of, let's say, all citizens who wish to go to college can have free entrance to college. That'd be okay.
No, I mean, how could you do it?
Why not?
I don't know how you would pay for it. I don't know how you would pay for it. I'd love to do all.
Well, the government could just pay for it. The government could say, here, we're willing to pay X number of dollars to educate our students, our society, and so if you take the student, you'll get the X number of dollars. What's wrong with that?
We do that at the local level.
Yeah.
Right? And I pay property taxes in order to make that happen.
Right, right. And then we send the kids to school. Right.
I agree with you. I think that the cost differential is significantly different between the two. And at what point do I stop paying taxes?
Don't you want an educated society, though? I mean, surely you're not in favor of the income disparity that we've seen in this country now develop that has brought people out into the streets to protest against people like you, Chris.
You're right, but it gets to a couple of other issues related to the money creation that we talked about. Mm-hmm. And the problem in our country is that because there's so much credit and money created, it's yeah. made all assets, including labor as well as real estate, so expensive uh-huh. that all of that business moves overseas.
Okay.
So the natural way to correct that
so we should
is to have lower prices.
Or we could punish the corporations when they move their businesses overseas. Wouldn't that be smart?
Or you could not allow firms like firms out of China
uh-huh.
to have unfettered access to U.S. markets
yeah.
when we don't have the same in there.
Okay, I concur. Now, let me ask you this, Chris. You had mentioned big government meddling in the mortgage market. What's the problem there with that?
Well, it's the same concept, right? If you want to create homeownership across a much broader swath of society,
mm-hmm.
you create that many more buyers, and that money has to come from somewhere.
Well, yeah.
So if Fannie or Freddie or Ginny or whoever it is providing the funding, they get that money from the market. The market has been impacted by the Federal Reserve.
So if money is available, these
too
kids
freely.
Too freely. That's not government money, by the way. Those are coming from private banks.
Well, the money is actually coming. The banks write the mortgage and then sell it to Fannie and Freddie. So they wouldn't write the mortgage at the below market rates and
uh-huh.
take the risk if they didn't know for certain that they could then sell it back to the government-sponsored entities.
So when they sold these crappy mortgages that they knew people couldn't end up paying for, they just could not help themselves? And so we need the government to save these corporations from themselves because they'll do crappy things if they're allowed to?
It's two things. If the government-sponsored entity says that, and this is going on today, right now, you can put down 3%
yeah.
For your mortgage, and the FHA will finance the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what that means. Any sort of decline in home values automatically puts the homeowner underwater. And so
if
the requirements were higher, right, it's a noble goal, but in practice it just doesn't work,
Chris, you know what, I got to get to a break, but do you believe that the folks that were lying to their clients, telling them these mortgages were great in all of these banks, and then betting against those mortgages, do you think there ought to be some accountability? Some of those folks should be sent to jail for fraud?
I knew some of those people, and they generally sat on different sides of the desk.
Chris, so, if you know some of those people, drop me a line, will you? Go to bradblog.com. My email address is easy to find. Send me a note. I'd love to talk to you about it, Chris. I got to get to a break.
Thank you, Brad.
Thanks. Appreciate your call, Chris.
Have a good night, okay?
And you. Brad, in from Malloy. Stay tuned.
Down the street, you can hear her scream, you're a disgrace. And she slams the door in his drunken face. And now he stands outside, and all the neighbors start to gossip.
Well, I've been down so goddamn long that it looks like up to me. Well, I've been down so very damn long.
Welcome back. Brad of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Glad you could join us here. 23 minutes after the hour. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. We're taking your calls. I'm also reading your tweets at the Brad Blog if you want to hit me there. And stop by the lively chat room at bradblog.com where you can get a signed copy of Imagine Politique, a political thriller in which a guy named Brad Friedman, a fictional Brad Friedman, actually appears. Written by Richard Averitt. We thank him for making those available as a premium to us at Brad Blog. We thank you for buying a copy to help me do what it is that I do. Truly. Psychoticus Rex in the chat room says that the police no longer need an excuse to attack people. That's just about correct. Mark in Vermont, also in the chat, says NPR. Oh, here's news. NPR is talking about protest in Egypt, that is. And let's see. Twomp in chat says that thousands of arrests during the savings and loan crisis in the 80s. Now, of course, there's zero. Because as we all know, the 1% has become immune to the rule of law that only applies to you or I. Caroline, here we go. Caroline in San Francisco, listening on the great Green 960, I hope. Caroline, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's going on out there? Do we have Caroline? Oh, there we go. Now, try that again. What's going on out there, Caroline?
Hi.
Hi.
It's Carol.
Oh, Carol. Oh, yeah, I'm firing my screener. Des, your friend. Carol, what's
okay.
up?
That's okay.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm running through all the bullet points of all the stuff I want to tell you. First of all, thanks for you. If Mike only has you ever filling in, I'd be very happy because you give news I can't get anywhere else.
Thank you.
And the stuff about the elections, just, you know, it's unparalleled. You're the only guy.
Thank you, Carol.
Yeah, well,
appreciate that very much.
Not just saying that. I need the news because I'm a journalist in San Francisco. I need to know what's going on. In San Francisco, I'm actually calling partly because I'm hoping if I give a shout out on what's happening in San Francisco, it might stop the police attacks.
Yeah.
They took out two parts of the encampment, Occupy San Francisco, the police. There was a little bridge area that went between two parts of it. Mm-hmm. The first part was at 101 Market Street, which is at the Federal Reserve Bank. You know, we love the Federal Reserve. And right. then there was a little bridge encampment of about 13 tents that was an overflow.
Right.
And then the major encampment was in the Embarcadero of San Francisco. I don't know if you know the city, but it's
yeah.
very big. It started out 6 to 8 people originally, and now it's up to 300.
And what did the, what was the police excuse for taking out this bridge between the two camps?
Health and safety and blocking the sidewalk, which is a whole load of crap. There, I was down there. I have videos of it. There's a little bridge tent encampment wasn't blocking the sidewalk at all. There are health and safety issues that are less egregious than along Haight Street, where a lot of the homeless people come into the city. It's completely contrived, and they're going to try it again. Usually these cowards do it in the middle of the night.
Yes, they do, don't
do
they?
Do it at 4 a.m.
Yep.
You can watch it on live stream
yeah.
when they do it.
And you know why they don't do it why they don't do it during the day? Take a look at what happened when they did it during the day at UC Davis. Everybody gets great video. Other than that, yes, they're cowardly. They love to do it in the middle of the night. Carol, yes. I got to get to a break here. Stay safe out there at Occupy and keep us updated, all right?
Okay, well. Well, we don't want it to happen. We want it to stay there so people
keep
do
up,
something.
Keep up the fight. Brad in from Malloy.
Carry me, caravan, take me away. Take me to Portugal, take me. Here, come on. Love my girl. She looking good. Come on.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Michael Malloy. Our last half hour here, going to get to your call momentarily. Tomorrow, I should note, we'll be joined by Congressman Ted Deutsch from Florida's 19th District. He has a new amendment. It's called the Occupied Amendment that he's putting forward in Congress. And I don't have what Occupied is actually an acronym in this case. But essentially, it ends corporate money in our elections. That'd be cool, huh? You know, says stuff like the rights in the Constitution agree to human beings and not fake human beings like corporations. Okay, to your calls in a moment, but I have to get this in. This from Think Progress today. Alabama's economy is suffering because of HB 56, the state's draconian immigration law. as workers flee out of fear. State Senator Scott Beeson, Republican, who sponsored the anti-immigrant bill in the Alabama legislature, once called it a jobs bill. But the state's immigration law is leaving entire industries without enough workers instead. And the extreme law, which legislators are now reconsidering, could seriously damage the state's reputation as well after police arrested a German Mercedes-Benz executive last week under the immigration law. Mercedes opened its first American manufacturing plant in Vance, Alabama in 1993, spurring a trend of foreign car makers and suppliers opening factories in the state. They may be rethinking that decision, however, after one of their German executives was arrested for simply not having his passport with him. The man had only a German ID card, so he was arrested and taken to police headquarters. The 46-year-old executive was charged with violating the immigration law for not having proper identification. Papers, please. Brilliant. Let's go to David in Los Angeles. Hey, David, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's up, brother?
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Okay, I'm very good.
Good.
Let's see. I just have 2 points that I want to make. If that's okay.
Do them up.
You know, I'm just going to make one other one.
All right.
I think you have too many commercials on there.
Oh, really?
Way too many commercials to wade through.
I see.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. That's besides the point in a lot of ways.
All right.
The two points are, I think that there should be a third political party formed out of what's going on right now.
Okay.
I think that that's going to be one of the only things that will really change things. I don't think the Democrats or the Republicans are going to ever change things in the directions that we'd like to see them change.
So, like, so let's say the Occupy Party? Should we have the Occupy Party?
Absolutely. Occupy. And I agree with you, by the way, that the Tea Party and the Occupy Party actually have a lot of things in common,
yeah.
Although I don't think they really realize it. Anybody who decides that they're a Republican who's not in the top 1% is crazy, as far
Dave,
as I'm concerned.
David, if you start an Occupy Party, doesn't that end up splitting the Democratic vote and letting all Republicans win the election?
No. Because I think that we have to work really hard to marginalize the Republicans and educate the uneducated people in the country, mm-hmm. or maybe the less educated people who might tend to vote Republican, not realizing that they're actually screwing themselves.
How about challenging Democrats to either, do what needs to be done to show some balls or put up some Occupy candidates to primary those Democrats and put in
absolutely.
People who really give a damn about this country instead?
Well, absolutely, but I don't want to sacrifice this momentum for them because they're getting paid. They were getting paid by Wall Street, too. Obama got lots of money from Goldman Sachs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, I'm not saying. Hang on, David. I'm not saying sacrifice the movement for anything. I'm saying how about take David from Occupy LA and put him up against a Democrat who's not doing a damn thing. Let's say Brad Sherman
heard anything from Barbara Boxer
Democrat.
Or the other. But anyway, my other point. Let me just make this other
All right,
point.
Quick.
I think that you should focus the conversation
yeah.
on changing the financial laws and not dwell so much upon the police and all that stuff. We all know that that's what's going to happen. We know that they're going to protect the rich.
All right.
And there's nothing we can do about that. Let's just focus the conversation on actually changing the laws so we can get the financial system and get
right.
ourselves back in the driver's seat here.
Thanks for your thoughts, David. I do.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Much.
Have a good night. There is something that we can do about it, though. And no, I'm not going to stand by while my constitutional rights are taken away. But I appreciate David's point. There's a lot of fronts that need to be fought upon. And I hear you. A lot of fighting to do. It's been 30 years of decay in this country. Let's go to, Doug in Oakland. Hey, Doug, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi. How you doing? Thanks a lot. I love everything you're doing. I think that it's very important to win the hearts of people that don't actually get to the Occupy movement. Saturday in Oakland, we a bunch of us marched up Grand and stopped at Lakeview School, just another school that's being shut down because of no money. But mm-hmm. There are helicopters overhead all day.
Yeah.
But the only thing that evening they reported was when we took down the chain link fence and started a new camp on 19th and Telegraph. They are making people not like us in the town that we grew up and love and are trying to make better in the country we're trying to make better. And I'm wondering, how can we win the hearts of people like my parents who live in Arizona?
Okay. Well, you know what? For the moment, forget about Arizona. You guys in Oakland, you've got a great progressive. You're lucky to actually have a progressive radio station out there. You've got Green 960. And and let me tell you, because most cities don't even have anything that's not completely right-wing insane. Okay. I'm speaking these words right now across Green 960 because it's a Malloy affiliate. Here's the deal. There is absolutely no evidence that there were any protesters who brought violence against the police, the Oakland Police Department on October 25th when the majority of that violence broke out. The fact of the matter is, if there's evidence, the police need to come forward with it. If there's not evidence, then Howard Jordan, the Oakland Police Interim Chief, needs to step down. Gene Kwan needs to step down because they both lied about what happened on October 25th. They said that you guys forced them to use tear gas when that's a complete and utter lie. Yeah.
They told me a week later that that they said, maybe not you particularly, but your bad guys set fires in bins near the building. And
Look,
is a complete lie.
Look, yeah, BS.
I was there.
Howard Jordan, the interim police chief for Oakland, I want to make him really famous. Howard Jordan, the interim police chief for the Oakland PD, said that it was necessary to shoot you guys with tear gas, and one of those tear gas canisters cracked the skull of Scott Olson, a two-time Iraqi vet, sent him to the hospital in critical condition with brain swelling. They had to do that. It was, quote, necessary to stop the people from pelting them with rocks and bottles. That's what the police chief said. That was a complete and utter lie. And if you guys, you know what? You guys are far from Wall Street. Forget about Wall Street out there in Oakland. You guys need to get together and demand Howard Jordan and the mayor, Gene Kwan, step down because they lied. They misrepresented the people. They have hurt the people. This was not about the health and safety because they hurt the health and safety of the people. You know, each Occupy movement in each city could pick a separate thing. Pull a tire square out there. Call for the heads of Howard Jordan and Gene Kwan. And those people need to step down. Let's show this country that there's some goddamn accountability for something, that you can't lie, that you can't shoot people in the head. And when your cop's doing it, you need to pay a greater price. You need to go to prison for doing that crap.
Sorry. It was like a war out there.
I know. And it was not a war that you started. It was a war that they started against you, and that allows the liars on Fox News to go on and say, oh, there's violence in the streets. Yes, there is violence in the streets, and it's brought by the police in the city of Oakland. And everybody out there, everybody out there listening to me on Green 960, you guys need to get together, organize, and show up at police headquarters and demand that Howard Jordan resign immediately for violating the law, the state law of California, and the consent decree that the Oakland police force signed after the 2003 anti-war protests when they did the same goddamn thing. Read about it at Brad Blog. Ernie Canning wrote up several terrific reports on this. The police, Howard Jordan, out and out lied, and he needs to pay a price. So that's what I think you should do, Doug.
We're going to bring it up again at General Assembly. You just incentivized me to really get back into that aspect.
Just call for some goddamn accountability. Thanks, Doug. I got to run. I appreciate your call, my friend. Appreciate all you're doing out there, as well as all of you occupiers in San Francisco and in Oakland who are listening to Green 960 out there tonight. Okay. Andrew in, I can do it. Andrew in Minneapolis, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind, brother?
I'm going to take exception real quick with two callers before I get to my point. One, focus on one thing. When the boat's got 50 holes in it, you don't patch one.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's a mosaic.
Well, it is, but in a place like Oakland, where they've been shot and beaten up and lied to by the police, before they move on to the bigger problems, they need to push back and say no. We demand accountability in this city of Oakland. That's just my opinion.
Well, that was the point that I was that was the point that I called for.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Do you know what the third personality complex is?
I do not.
Truman Capote wrote, I'll touch it briefly, the two kids could never have butchered themselves across Kansas, but the third personality they formed together could. Mm. The third personality of these corporations is murderous, and when our servers and protectors have turned into nothing but a goon squad for them, you see Egypt, you see Syria, mm-hmm. you see Libya, and it's happening here. I'm afraid they're going to start killing people because these people will not let go. And
of course, Scott Olson could have died out there easily. Could have died out there in Oakland. Absolutely.
Some of the 1% are human beings, and maybe some of these resources, pro bono law firms or whatever, are going to have to start going after these police departments as law breakers.
Yes, absolutely.
And drag them through the courts.
ACLU, by the way, has filed a suit against Oakland police, but the fact is there needs to be criminal charges, and the interim chief of police needs to step down. Andrew, you got another quick point? Because I do have to go here. I got the clock up against me here.
Very quick. I try so hard not to be cynical, but I still, at this point, have seen no justice for the Kent State murder victims. I'm afraid of what's coming.
Well, I hear you. Boy, talk about old fights. I hear you. I'm still trying to get the guy who won in 2000 to serve as president of the United States. Andrew, I got to run. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Much more of your calls, and we're going to wrap it up for tonight. Straight ahead. Oh man, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, and proud, damn proud of it. Stay with us.
So let the words of our mouth. Of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. Over.
People you love will turn their backs on you. You'll lose your hair, your teeth. Your knife will fall out of its sheath. But you still don't like to leave before the end of the movie.
And don't leave before the end of the Malloy Show either. My thanks tonight to my guest, Lee Fong. Check him out at thesecondalarm.com, where he's doing some tremendous work. Also, as ever, to engineer Tony Sorrentino here at LA's K-Talk. Thank you, brother. You rock. Producer, call screener, and lovely chat room hostess, Desi Doyen. Thank you, Desi, as well as For Earth. Our friend Earthy is in the chat room at bradblog.com, moderating tonight. Thanks, Earthy. And, of course, those listening on MikeMalloy.com, please do stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid after this broadcast, to which I am thankful to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit in for them. I'll be back, of course, tomorrow and Wednesday. Wednesday, Catherine Cryer from CNN is going to be joining, formerly of CNN and Court TV. She's awesome, by the way. She's going to be joining us. Congressman Peter Ted Deutsch is tomorrow night. And some other guests who I can't yet announce because we're working on things. Also, let's see, there's this. Albert Brooks tweeted earlier that tonight at midnight, the super committee changes back into the regular idiot committee. Oh, well, that's helpful. And Paul Krugman said on Sunday that Newt Gingrich, I love this, is a stupid man's idea of what a smart person sounds like. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, very quick, let me jump. Oh, and go, please, if you don't mind. After the show, I'll go on the video chat and say hi for a few minutes at the bradblog.com chat room. If you guys insist, come on by. I'll say hello and buy yourself a copy of Imagine Politique while you're there and help support the Brad blog. Okay, I got to do these really fast now. Sorry. Mark in San Francisco. Hey, Mark, what's going on? Welcome to the Molloy Show. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, Brad, we're going to have a Friday, December 2nd, Day of Action in SF. The Labor Council just sent me this email.
Yep.
And it's to expand Social Security, no cuts to Medicaid and Medicare for all. And it's going to be at 2 p.m. at 7th and Mission Civic Center. They're going to assemble there, and then they're going to march into the financial district.
Awesome. That's on December 2nd in San Francisco.
That's on December 2nd. Yeah.
Okay, everyone in San Francisco, turn out. Bring your gas masks, but turn out. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. I got to get to real, very quick here. Steve in Buffalo, welcome to the Mike Molloy Show.
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Do you remember around Halloween there was a foreclosure firm in Buffalo?
Yeah.
The one that a year previously had a Halloween party where they had the employees dressed up as homeless people, very similar to the ones that they were
lovely.
Producing.
Lovely.
Well, a little news tonight, I guess, partly from the bad publicity and probably because of some of their business practices, which they had to pay the government like $2 million or thereabouts for.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're going to be forced to shut their doors because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have both dropped them from their. They're not getting referrals from Fannie and Freddie, and the rest of the industry kind of follows their lead. Bank of America has dropped them.
Oh, that's so sad. That's a
Halloween party gift.
Yeah.
Well, no, well, they'll have a different perspective.
So they're closing. Yeah, boy, I hope the guy who runs that place doesn't lose his home. Wouldn't that be sad? Or lose his job. You know, get a job, hippie. That's what you ought to say to him.
There's such balance in nature.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Steve. Eventually. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the call. Stay warm up there in Buffalo. All right, very quickly, last fit one more in. Gary in Lexington, Kentucky, sir. Welcome to the Mike Molloy Show, brother.
Hey, Brad.
Hey.
Good show.
Thank you, sir.
I would like to propose that these police departments, instead of dressing up a bunch of thugs for crowd control, that they start trying to use females. I say that because having worked in a prison before I retired, they found that the female guards were much more effective at conflict resolution and much less likely to resort to use of force in dealing with a conflict situation. I think it's an idea worth trying, and I think these police departments are just setting themselves up by making a military response to these civil actions of people peacefully protesting.
Yeah, it's a full-on weaponized military state now in this country as all these police forces want to use their swell new equipment that they received after 9/11. Good idea, Gary. Here's one problem, though. The police chief at UC Davis Police Department, where they use that pepper spray, her name is Annette Spicuzza. And she stood by as dozens of innocent students were pepper sprayed. Thankfully, she's now on administrative leave. I hear you, but in this case, it didn't work. Annette Spicuzza was overseeing that mess in UC Davis. Oh, brother. All right, Brad Friedman, I'll be back tomorrow. Check us out at bradblog.com. Until then, get a copy of Imagine Politique over there. It'd be much appreciated if you would do that. Otherwise, I'll see you in the chat room at bradblog.com momentarily and on Twitter at TheBradBlog. Keep it lit.